Welcome to Africa Live here on AhuraRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we have a great show lined up for you today, a really important show actually lined up for you today. There's a lot going on out there. Everyone who has been at all aware of their surroundings or what's going on in the world has been aware of the situation in Haiti, where earlier this month an earthquake hit Haiti. Earthquake of at least 7.0 on the Richter scale, followed by another one that was around 6 something. So the situation in Haiti is really serious following this earthquakes there. Of course, the situation in Haiti has been a serious one for a long time. In fact, the reason why the earthquake was able to have such an impact was because of the poverty and real difficult situation in Haiti, a situation that is imposed on the people of Haiti. So we're going to be talking about that today. And later on in the program, we'll also, excuse me, be talking about the African People's Socialist Party of Sierra Leone. In Sierra Leone, the African People's Socialist Party has been effectively banned from any political activity. And we'll be joined on the second half of this program by Cherno Alpha Mba, who is the director of organization of the African Socialist International and had been functioning as the leader of the African People's Socialist Party of Sierra Leone. And we'll be talking with him about the situation there. And we'll talk a bit about what can and must be done around the situation. So what we'll do is we'll begin first with this discussion on Haiti. And I had hoped to have a guest with me on today who would have been joining me from Haiti, but we weren't able to work that out, and so perhaps we'll be able to do that on next week. However, I believe that it's a discussion that has to be had. In fact, I think that it's the situation in Haiti is going to be something that we'll be discussing throughout the day here on the Hoor Radio, and I think that would be a topic of discussion for quite some time, not just here on the Hoor Radio, but in the African world, because the situation in Haiti was something that was big, not just for Haiti, not just for Africans in Haiti, but for Africans around the world. And there has been this attempt to define the situation in Haiti, in the interest of our oppressors, and there has been a real disinformation campaign. There's been like I said, an attempt by our oppressors to define the situation in Haiti based on their own interest. A definition that, you know, does not inform us why Haiti was able to be impacted in such a way by an earthquake. And we're going to talk about that because we have to define the situation in Haiti based on our own interest, based on the interest of African people, both in Haiti and around the world, because it's in defining phenomena based on the way that they really are that we are able to respond in a sufficient way. And so that's what we're going to be doing on today. As I said, there's been an attempt to define this thing in the interest of our oppressors. There's been an attempt to tell us that Haiti was impacted by the earthquake because it is such a backward place, that it has been a backward place ever since its inception, ever since its winning its independence, its freedom, that, you know, just African people are not able to govern for ourselves, are not able to take care of our own affairs. And so that's why Haiti was in a situation. And they don't necessarily say it blatantly like that, you know. Some do, some don't. Sometimes, you know, we've heard, though, said that Haiti was impacted like this because Haitians just have they build bad structures. They don't have the structure there to withstand earthquakes, or that they just have bad governance. That that Haiti has been governed so poorly for so long. Of course, the reality is Haiti has been under attack for at least a couple centuries. And when I say a couple of centuries, I mean like constant. But even before then, Haiti, you know, has been a place that has been under attack. And it is this attack by U.S. imperialism, by French imperialism, that has created the situation in Haiti where it has been incapable. Africans there have been incapable of responding to the situation in a sufficient way. There's also been this attempt to convince us that the U.S. government and other imperialist governments are interested in the welfare of African people in Haiti, or have the best interests of Africans there at heart. Of course, those of us who know anything about history know differently. Those of us who know anything about history know that Haiti has been under assault since 1804 because the people of Haiti, Africans in Haiti, waged a successful struggle, the first successful workers' revolution in the world, and had served as an example to struggling Africans and others around the world who were struggling against colonial slavery and just imperialist attack. Because Haiti had served as such an example to struggling peoples around the world, imperialism has set out for the past two centuries to make it an example in the same manner that they have done with forces like Malcolm X, like Martin Luther King, making an example out of them, that if you struggle, if you attempt to challenge the current world order, parasitic world order, then this is what will happen to you. And that is what has brought Haiti to where it is right now. And we're going to go through some specifics on that, because I think it's important for us to have a good grip on the history of Haiti. And so that's what we're going to take the first part of this program to do. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break, a musical break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion on Haiti. And I want those of you who are out there who are listening to feel free to participate in the discussion that we're having here. You can do so by calling in or emailing in. You can call the U.S. number, which is 727-565-1599. Or you can call the U.K. number, which is 020-8133-6629. Or you can call us through Skype for free anywhere in the African world. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and it's all one word, all lowercase. Or you can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play some music and come back with more discussion here on Africa Live on uhururadio.com.
Oh, na na, yeah, na na na, yes, yeah. In the streets it's getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for the pot, and they'll do anything to fill that gap. No, in the streets it's getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for the pot, but they'll do anything to fill that gap. As generation comes and grows, you got to make preparation while the youths them grow. It's what you reap, is what you sow. The youth them are the light and the future, so when that's them, you know. If education is the key, now tell me why the bigger heads are making it so expensive for we. Give them the key or set them free. In the streets it's getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for the pot, where they do anything to fill that gap. Whoa.
in the streets is getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for a pot, where they do anything to fill that gap. Well, na na na. Find a better way. Cause when me looking at Babylon, me see a fearful play. And so the Gideon say, yeah. Our nation come together, know the King Selassie has the truth and the light and the way. He's the people, lead them in the right way. Cause in the streets it's getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for the pot, they'll do anything to fill that gap. Boy, in the streets it's getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for the pot, they'll do anything to fill that gap. Yeah. You got to show the people there's still a brighter way. Yeah. I know for sure the sun will come out today. Vanities and illusion will have to fade away, yeah. And all the wicked deeds are done, I know you got to pay, yeah. Cause in the streets it's getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for the pot, they'll do anything to fill that gap, yeah. In the streets it's getting hot, and the youths them I get so cold. Searching for food for the pot, they'll do anything to fill that gap. As generation comes and go, you got to make preparation while the youth them a grow. It's what you reap is what you sow. The youth them are the light and the future. Let's end us them, you know. If education is the key, so tell me why the bigger heads they make it so expensive for we. Give them the key or set them free.
Ah, I beg, let us get down into another on-the-ground spiritual game. I beg. After my paso-paso, you go they help me end down with mwah, because them go here mwah. Yeah. Ah, oh. Hey. Ah, paso-paso. Oh, ah, yeah, 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 oh, yeah, ah, when they want to call, yeah, when they want to call, yeah, when they want to call, Nigerian government, them Gian Min, federal military government,
federal military government,
for Libya, them Gian Min, Liberation Council,
Liberation Council,
for Liberia, them Gian Min, the National Council,
the National Council,
for Zion, them Gian name Revolutionary Council,
Revolutionary Council.
Them get different names for different governments, but the correct name for them now, Soldier go, soldier come. Federal ability to the government. Libya Liberation Council, Liberia Redemption Council, Zaire Revolutionary Council,
Soldier go, soldier come.
Oh. When Obasanjo and Yaradua shop belly full and go, them put civilian friends for their, them shout Second Republic. People we know they happy, people we know them they look. Them baptize the civilian government, then name them federal government. Me a know my their name, me a call them soja, put soja go. So our life for Africa, they roll since them say we get independence. The civilian governments with them day, a soldier they protected them. When our life zero lose small, it go no cool head for wall. When our life zero lose small, it go no cool head for three. When our life zero lose small, it go no cool head for stone. When I see say our lives they roll like 1 year ball, where 1 year wind they blow from 1 year corner. I put my mat for song, kala kuta show. Luku di manu he de waka. Hungry de runu for him face. I put my mouth for song. Mr. Follow, follow.
Mr. Follow, follow.
They follow, follow. Make you open eye.
Mr. Follow, follow.
They follow, follow. Make you open sense.
Mr. Follow, follow.
Put my mouth for song. Zombie, oh zombie.
Yeah, yeah, zombie, oh zombie.
Yeah, yeah,
zombie no go unless you tell him to go,
yeah, yeah,
and stop.
Zombie, oh zombie.
Yeah, yeah,
attention, quick match, left on, right on, about on, quick match.
Yeah, yeah,
zombie, oh zombie.
Yeah, yeah,
quick match, left on, right on, about on. Left.
Welcome back to Africa Live here on the WhoRadio.com. You were just listening to Fela Kuti's Overtake. And before that, we were listening to Richie Spice, Youth Them Cold. We've been talking up to now about the situation in Haiti, and wanted to just give a sense of the history of Haiti. Because the current situation has to be put into context. It's not like, you know, all of a sudden Haiti became poor. There's been a historical assault on Haiti. And in fact, Haiti is a place that has an incredible history of struggle, incredible legacy of a struggle against imperialism, against colonialism, with a real legacy of forces like Jean-Jacques Dessalines, like Toussaint Louverture, you know, and it is part of both the Revolution of the Americas and the International African Revolution. So we want to kind of talk a bit about this history, so you can get a sense, so our listeners can have a sense of what has brought Haiti to the place where it is right now. As I said, it has a long history of struggle and a long history of being under assault. I said before we went to break that it served as an example, you know, to struggling peoples around the world. And because of that, imperialism was determined to make an example of why we should not struggle. Haiti first came under attack in 1492 when a syphilitic genocidal maniac by the name of Cristobal Colon. A lot of us know of him today as Christopher Columbus, but he landed in Haiti along with his crew in 1492 and renamed Haiti Hispaniola. It was called Haiti by the Arawak Indians who were there when he got there. You know, he pretty much immediately began to wipe out the Arawak Indians, attempting to enslave them, and just began this process of exterminating them. At this, you know, at this time when Columbus got there, there were about 8 million Arawaks there on this island. And within about 16 years, only 60,000 were left. So this is the kind of assault that from the moment that imperialism reached this island has been waged against Haiti. By the mid-1500s, the Spanish had completely wiped out the Arawak population there, and had begun transporting kidnapped Africans to Haiti to work for free. For the next 150 years or so, Haiti was a colony of Spain. Of course, in the 1600s, late 1600s, about 1697, as Europe has historically done often, you know, it was involved in a war between different sectors of European population for control over the colonies, over the resources that they were stealing from the rest of the world. This, you know, this is another gang fight, much like the World War One and World War Two. In this particular gang fight between these gangsters who were fighting over stolen resources, you had on one side France, and you had on the other side England, Spain, and the Netherlands. Of course, at some point they had determined to settle this conflict, this fight over stolen resources, and settled it with Spain giving a third of the island that they called Hispaniola to France. And this is what became the territory that is now called Haiti. Of course, at that point, France had had named it Saint-Dominique. You know, had really made that a real serious point of theft for the French Empire. In fact, for much of the 1700s, Haiti was the richest, one of the richest colonies that France had possession of. And in fact, somewhere around about 40% of all the sugar and 60% of all the coffee that was consumed in Europe was coming from the place that we now call Haiti. It was called at that time, they called it the Pearl of the Antilles, you know, because it was bringing so much wealth to France. It has historically been a rich place. Haiti has. It's been a rich place. But it has also historically been a place that has been under assault, that has been stolen from by imperialist powers. The thing is, Africans there, you know, have a serious, like I said before, a serious legacy of struggle. In the late 1700s, we saw African people begin to wage a serious struggle to kill the slave master and overthrow the system of slavery there in Haiti. In the beginning, like around 1790 or so, Africans began waging this serious struggle. By the time of 1802, actually, the people, this struggle had really intensified. In fact, Napoleon Bonaparte, who was the head of France at the time, had sent his best troops to Haiti and could not win the struggle against these Africans who were determined to overturn the system of slavery there. The struggle there was led by forces like Toussaint Louverture and Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Toussaint Louverture the French said that they wanted to make a deal, and they invited Toussaint Louverture onto their ship to discuss a deal to end the war that was happening there, the struggle that was going on, the resistance that was happening there in Haiti. What happened is, as is always the case, imperialism could not be trusted. In fact, when Toussaint Louverture got onto the ship, not only did they not negotiate anything, but they sailed off with Toussaint Louverture on the ship and took him to France. And not only did they do that, they locked him up in a freezing cold cell and allowed him to freeze to death, forced him to freeze to death. This is the kind of torture that imperialism has visited upon Africans and other people around the world, and Haiti in particular. The thing is, they had assumed that by doing that, by capturing Toussaint Louverture, that they could stop the resistance in Haiti. That if they took the leadership there, then the people of Haiti would give up this struggle to be a free people. Of course, they were wrong. They were wrong. In fact, more than anything, it intensified the struggle. As African people were determined, following the capture of Toussaint Louverture and the torturing to death of Toussaint Louverture, to win their freedom, and they beat Napoleon's best troops. They beat his best troops out of France, and made, as I said before, the first successful workers' revolution in the world. So this was a really important place in the world in terms of this struggle against colonial slavery. Remember, this is 1804. You know, this is a period where the whole slavery system was really intense, and the people of Haiti overturned that and became, as I said before, a real example for struggling peoples around the world. So Africans in places like South Carolina, like Denmark Vesey, would make in leading struggle of Africans against to overturn the system of slavery there. Would mobilize African people by saying, look, if we do this thing, our African brothers and sisters in Haiti are going to be supporting this struggle. Let's make this struggle, and we'll be joined by Africans in Haiti. And the thing is, not only that, but the Africans in Haiti had created a situation where any African person coming into Haiti would be a free person. You know, if you made it to the shores of Haiti, you're free. this is very much different from the situation now, where Africans who are coming from Haiti, if they make it to the shores of the U.S., are locked up in cells and eventually deported if they ever let out of the cells. You know, this is a place that is a beacon of freedom, you know, around the world. And so the thing is, imperialism set out to make Haiti pay. To make Haiti pay for becoming free. And from that point on, it has been a constant assault against Haiti. And we're going to talk about it a bit more. But what we're going to do is take a break first. And I want to invite, again, those of you who are out there listening, to participate in this discussion. You can do so by calling in or emailing in. You can call the U.S. number, which is 727-565-1599, or you can call the U.K. number, which is 020-8133-6629, or you can call us through Skype for free anywhere in the African world. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and it's all one word, all lowercase, or you can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. So stay tuned here on Africa Live. We'll continue this discussion around the history of Haiti and the current situation there, and the responsibility of African people around the world to respond to the situation in Haiti.
Possession is the motivation, hanging up the whole damn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut, trying to make it real. But compared to what? Slaughterhouse. Killing hogs, twisted children are killing frogs, poor dumb rednecks rolling logs, tired old ladies are kissing dogs, and I hate that human love, that stinking mud, trying to make it real. But compared to what? Said the president, he's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. No one gives us rhyme or reason. If you have one doubt, they call it treason. I said we're chicken feathers, all without one gut. Make it real. But compared to what? Go to church on Sunday, sleep and not trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with pride, telling what he thinks is right. But he must be some kind of stupid nut. He tries to make it real. Try to make it real.
You're listening to Africa Live here on AhuruRadio.com.
Been in this since the 60s, now we brought us back together. They thought they wiped us out with bullets, bombs, and jails. But whatever, we can weather whatever they throw at us. And I thought they was clever when inventing Obama. Tell y'all he's solving problems when he send them more drama. These banks stealing homes with them predatory loans, and he give them what's left of what they stole from your mama. So we gon' take it back, reparations. That's they can't erase, putting on no black face. Black power today is one Africa, one nation. He's way late to go check the translation. Black is back and it ain't no question. Things ain't the same, they rearrange and set. Man, these sucker soldiers out the side with the oppressor. But we taking it back to black. Yeah, taking it back to black.
Welcome back to Africa Live here on AhuruRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe. And up to now, we've been talking about the situation in Haiti, where another U.S. Occupation is underway, which is just a continuation of the occupations, military coups and attacks that have been imposed on Haiti by U.S. and European imperialism for the past 2 centuries. We've been talking about the history that led up to this point, because we, you know, hear in the media this discussion that says, you know, that basically tells us that, you know, Haiti suffered the way it did following the earthquake that happened earlier this month because it has a inept government, has continued to have inept and corrupt governments, and that the people did not build good enough structures to be able to handle earthquakes and whatnot. But nobody talks about, well, the media doesn't talk about the fact that the reason why Haiti is in the situation it's in. In fact, the reason why Haiti has the particular government that it has now is because of U.S. and European imperialist intervention and the imposing of governments that serve the interests of imperialism on the people of Haiti. We were talking about the fact that Haiti waged the first successful workers' revolution in 1804, and since that point, it has been constantly under attack. Of course, shortly after that successful revolution in 1804, France forced Haiti to pay 150 million francs in gold for reparations from Haiti for having become free. France assessed what it felt like it lost in terms of the stolen resources, gold and you know, sugar, coffee, all of these resources that France had been stealing out of Haiti. It assessed those resources and said this is what's owed, but not just those resources. It assessed a cost for African people who were freed, who freed themselves as slave from slavery. France said, you've got to pay us for being free, and forced Haiti to pay 150 million francs in gold to France. And they didn't work alone. In fact, the way that they forced Haiti to do that is they imposed isolation on Haiti. They imposed like embargoes and stuff, the same type of situation they've had against Cuba for a long time. But at this point, you know, all you had was Haiti. Haiti didn't have, you know, it was completely isolated. And imperialism had determined that if Haiti was to be a part of the world economy, then it would be a part of the world economy as a commodity. So U.S. imperialism, French imperialism, they forced Haiti to either pay 150 million francs in gold for having freed themselves, or be completely isolated from and unable to import anything from anywhere. For the next 60 years or so, Haiti was paying France reparations, and in fact, much of the resources leaving Haiti was going to France in the form of this so-called reparations for being free. Of course, following that, in 1915, the U.S. military, Marines, invaded Haiti and occupied Haiti from between 1915 to 1934, and imposed just the worst kind of misery and violence and stuff on Haiti. I mean, it was an occupation. In fact, it was the Marines controlled Haiti completely. In this time, as the Marines have been going into Haiti, they, according to USA Today, they had been studying the occupation in Haiti, their previous occupation in Haiti, to get a sense of how they should be moving, how they should be successful in completing their mission. So this is the history of the role of U.S. imperialism with Haiti. You know, I mean, from 1915 to 1934, they occupied Haiti. And at the point that the people kicked them out, that Africans in Haiti kicked the Marines out, the Marines didn't leave empty-handed. They looted the treasury of Haiti and took so much more resources. And then comes 1957, shortly after that, where Papa Doc Duvalier goes into power. And this is the U.S.-supported puppet regime that goes into power. Papa Doc, this regime was another regime that imposed real serious violence on African people there. Thousands of people, killed, and then following Papa Doc in 1957 was Baby Doc Duvalier, his son, who went into power once he died, and continued that regime, reactionary, violent regime, repressive regime. And of course, like I said, Papa Doc was backed by the U.S. government, and so was Baby Doc. And he was in power until the people threw him out of power. And this came around 1986, where Baby Doc was kicked out of power. And in this struggle against this U.S. imposed neo-colonial regime, Aristide, Jean-Bertrand Aristide emerges as a leader in the struggle against Baby Doc Duvalier. And what ends up happening is after Baby Doc is kicked out in 1986, his forces hold an election in 1990. And in this election, the U.S. government intends to win with another puppet, to install another puppet into power. This time, the puppet's name was Mark Bazin, who was a CIA-backed person who was supposed to, according to U.S. interests, was supposed to become the next cover for continued, you know, exploitation of African people there. Of course, it didn't work out that way. Africans in Haiti elected Jean-Bertrand Aristide to be the president there. And because they elected Jean-Bertrand Aristide, the U.S. government decided that they made the wrong decision. And within 7 months of that election, the U.S. government organized a military coup that goes on a rampage, murdering Africans there in Haiti, and removes Aristide from power. And again, thousands of supporters of Aristide and his Lavalas party were killed, were assassinated, murdered, and thousands, you know, more find themselves leaving Haiti because of the imposed, you know, violent regime there, the imperialist imposed regime there. Of course, there was a struggle waged, you know, even as Aristide is out of Haiti, to force the U.S. government to return him. And in 1994, it does so. In 1994, you know, to try to deal with this political pressure that has been forced on the U.S. government from as a result of its overthrowing the democratically elected government there, they allow Aristide to return. We've got a call. Caller, you're on the air. Who are calling? Okay, we seem to have lost the caller. So there's this long history, you know, of the attack on Africans in Haiti. And in fact, even when they allowed Aristide to go back into power, it was based on conditions. And they said, well, you know, the whole time that we had our puppet in power, that you were going, you're going to have to count that as part of your term. So he only had like a year left. And then they were planning, and then they were to hold elections again and plan, to put in another puppet. Of course, it didn't quite work out like that. In fact, elected was, René Préval, who was the president now. Of course, at that time, he was part of, Aristide's party and seemed to be a bit more progressive than he is today. Of course, there were elections held again in 2000. And again, the people elected the wrong person. They elected Jean-Bertrand Aristide again. And of course, we all know that in this case, in 2004, the U.S. government again coordinated a military coup to remove the democratically elected president there. This time it was under George W. Bush's regime in the U.S. So again, he's removed, and U.S. military troops removed him. And at first they said, well, you know, he wanted to leave. And of course, once he got the way he was going, we learned that that he was taken by force against his will. Of course, this was on the anniversary. This was the 200th anniversary of Haiti's independence in 2004, when he was overthrown again. And there's so many other, you know, details around this that we could go through if we had time. But it's a long history. And what happened after that is that the U.S. handed over the responsibility to occupy Haiti, in this case, to its puppet organization, the United Nations. And the United Nations has been occupying Haiti even up to now, when the earthquake happened, and had been committing all kind of atrocities, from, you know, just murdering African people in the streets there in Haiti. This is the kind of situation that has been imposed on Haiti. And so today we find the situation where Haiti had been incapable of responding to the earthquake situation in any serious kind of way, because it has been had occupations thefts and really, you know, been held at gunpoint for the past 200 years, you know. Today we find the U.S. troops have begun another occupation of Haiti following the earthquake there. As soon as U.S. troops got into Haiti, first thing they did was seize the airport there. And they have been denying planes with supplies from being able to land there to bring supplies to Africans in Haiti. This is Obama's regime that's doing this. I know some of y'all out there who are listening may be Obama fans, but the reality is this is Obama's regime that's doing this. Not only has Obama's regime done this in terms of not allowing, sending in troops who have done nothing but occupy Haiti and prevented needed medical supplies and other supplies that were being brought by planes from organizations like Doctors Without Borders from landing and bringing supplies into Haiti. But what he did was sent in, you know, supposedly be ambassadors for U.S. government's interests there, George W. Bush, who presided over the last military coup that removed the democratically elected president there, and William Clinton, who was the one who, when Aristide first returned to power, forced the conditions on him that would set up the ability for the next coup to happen, and also imposed, you know, made a determination that he could not carry out a full term there. In fact, the time that the U.S. government had a puppet regime in power there would be counted as his term. So this is what the Obama regime has done. And in Haiti, you see a feeding frenzy. Imperialists are going in, and they're having a feeding frenzy coming in to take advantage of Haiti. African children being kidnapped. And we're finding reports of African children being kidnapped and molested, you know, kidnapped and brought to places like the U.S. to be put into white people's homes this is genocide, you know, what is happening against the people of Haiti. And this is, Haiti has become Katrina. Haiti is Katrina. We saw the same kind of response to the Hurricane Katrina situation in the U.S. And so it should have, for any of us who have seen any things that have been happening in the world in recent history, we should have known off rip that what the U.S. government was going to do there, if it wouldn't save Africans in New Orleans from Katrina, then it ain't interested in saving Africans in Haiti from the earthquake. And the reality is that if Haiti if the crisis in Haiti is to be resolved, it's going to be resolved by us. It's going to be resolved by Africans and our allies who would work with us in this process of, you know, resolving that problem. The reality is that if Haiti is to actually have a future, or any African person around the world is to have a future, it's going to be it's going to boil down to it being as a result of completing the African Revolution that was forwarded in 1804 when Africans in Haiti made that struggle and defeated Napoleon's best troops. The struggle that's been waged ever since the first white man stepped foot on Africa and began to attack our people there. This struggle is one that continues even today and has to be completed if Africans in Haiti or in Florida or in Sierra Leone or in Canada or anywhere else around the world are to be free. The International African Revolution has to be completed. And African internationalists must view Haiti, the struggle going on in Haiti, as our struggle. No matter where we are in the world, Africans must view the situation in Haiti as our situation. It's something that we have to resolve for ourselves. And I know that that there is some work that is being done. The Black is Back Coalition has put forward a resolution in terms of some work that it will be doing, and you can find more information about that, I believe, on the blackisbackcoalition.org website. I know the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project that we've talked about many times here on the WhoRadio.com is responding to the situation in Haiti. And you should probably be able to find information on that on APDEP's website, which is developmentforafrica.org. We have to respond. We have to be able to respond as African people to the situation in Africa and in Haiti, because the situation in Haiti is an African situation. It is an African problem. And the solution to our problem is overturning imperialism. I wanted to say those things, and we are over time for this discussion. So we're going to go to break here, and when we return, we will return with Cherno Alpha Mba, the director of organization of the African People's Socialist Party of Sierra Leone, and we'll be discussing the recent banning of the African People's Socialist Party there in Sierra Leone. So stay tuned here on Africa Live on the WhoRadio.com. We'll be right back. Uhuru, and welcome back to Africa Live here on uhururadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we are entering the second half of the program. And in this half, we're going to be talking about the situation in Sierra Leone, West Africa, where the African People's Socialist Party of Sierra Leone has recently been banned, effectively banned. And we have on the line with us Comrade Chernow Alpha Mba, who is the director of organization of the African Socialist International and has been leading up the work to build the African People's Socialist Party there on the ground. Uhuru, Comrade Chernow.
Yes, Uhuru.
Can you, first of all, tell our listeners what is meant by this question of the African People's Socialist Party being banned on the ground? How was it banned?
Well, like you said, about 2 weeks ago or so, a public statement was issued by the Sierra Leone Political Parties Registration Commission, which is a body or institution that is established by the neo-colonial government to regulate activities of political parties in the country, and it came out with a public statement on the 16th, on the 12th of January, effectively banning the African People's Socialist Party and its membership, including myself and any other individual in the country, from participating in any political activity in the country under the name of the African People's Socialist Party. And that is to say that we have no right, according to them, to convey political meetings, to hold a political discussion, to grant interviews to the media in the country, to disseminate our ideas and activities to the masses of African people that we represent, on whose behalf we have been speaking and struggling for. That if we do that, they are saying that we will be in violation of certain legislations that they have enacted to limit national democratic rights in the country. So what that means is that we have been effectively banned by the neo-colonial government that is led by Ernest Bai Koroma, the All People's Congress, from participating in the political activities of the country, which we feel is a violation to our own democratic rights, not only as citizens but as individuals, whose right to decision making, whose resources, whose right to self-determination has been exploited and violated by a group of individuals who have held on to political power for the last 50 years or so, and who are responsible for the poverty and the underdevelopment that we experience in the country.
Can you say why you believe this banning has been done?
Well, if you just to say this is that if you well remember, this country, like any other country in Africa, has been ruled for almost 50 years now by a fraudulent middle class, a political group that has grown extremely wealthy and rich by exploiting the resources and by selling out the mineral and energy resources of the country to the consortium of imperialists and organizations who have been looting the country. So for the very first time in the history of this country, in November, we have initiated a process to challenge this situation, because these fraudulent middle-class politicians have been ruling and exploiting the people with impunity. So we initiated a process that is designed to overturn this situation, that has served as a challenge and which has provided the masses an opportunity to effectively question the leadership of these fraudulent individuals who have been in power for almost 50 years now and who have ruined all aspects of development in the country. So that is one. And the initiation of the African People's Socialist Party in November of last year, the middle class in this country have started to smell the coffin. They have started to realize that their days are now numbered, that they are faced with a real challenge, that the workers and the peasants whose energies and strengths and aspirations for genuine change has been exploited by them for the almost 50 years now, are now prepared to challenge them and to overturn the institution and to expose them. So they think that with the African People's Socialist Party, they are no longer going to rule the people with impunity and to be in a position to loot the resources without them being questioned. So that is one. And secondly, in January, 1st of January this year, the neo-colonial government, as part of its design to further increase the suffering and the hardship that the masses, the workers and the peasants are experiencing in this country, introduced a new tax legislation, a new economic policy that has increased the prices of all essential goods and services in the country to 15%. And this situation was completely unacceptable on the side of people. It was opposed, regardless of serious criticism, serious opposition and resentment from the vast majority of people in this country. The government decided to deliberately impose such a policy that will do nothing but increase the suffering of the people. So the African People Socialist Party, being a party that represents the workers and the peasants in this country, decided to convey a press conference on the 5th of January demanding, among other things, that these repugnant tax legislation should be reversed, and more than that also, that a comprehensive disclosure of the total amount of taxes that have been collected by the National Revenue Authority, which is responsible for the implementation of this tax, should be made public, that an audit assessment of the assets of senior officers of the tax department should equally be carried out to determine whether tax monies that have been used fairly. And we also criticize the role of international financial institutions, the World Bank, the IMF, and the British Department of International Development, who have supported the government and who have advised the government to enact such a policy that they have no right to determine whether we should pay a tax or not, that the decision of whether a tax is acceptable, a tax policy is acceptable or not, should not fall within the domain of the officials of the World Bank and their staff. So this situation was greeted with overwhelming support by the masses, and the neo-colonial elites, together with their imperialist bosses, the representatives of the international financial institutions who have been looting the country, decided to use the many, many legislations that they have that serve as a hindrance to national democratic rights to issue a ban of the African People's Socialist Party, because they realized that for them is the only way they could contain the evolving aspiration and desire of the people, who are becoming more and more conscious of the role of these multinational agencies, these imperialist forces, in the administration of their situation, and also the underdevelopment of the country, to challenge them and overturn the situation. So this ban has come basically as part of a desire or a design on the part of the neo-colonial elites and their imperialist masters to forestall the emergence of a genuine struggle that is designed to overturn the conditions that have been imposed by these fraudulent individuals and their allies. So, in brief, it is a response that has come as a consequence of a genuine effort to free ourselves from the class contradictions of neo-colonialism and imperialism.
So, effectively, this banning is not just an attack on the African People's Socialist Party of Sierra Leone. It's in fact an attack on the African working class and its ability to become organized in its own interest.
Yes.
Uhuru. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes. Can you say that? Yes. Like you just mentioned, this is an attack. It's not only an isolated attack. It's an attack on the entire African liberation movement. We have said it before the Constitutive Conference that established the African People's Socialist Party, that the struggle that is happening in Sierra Leone is a critical one, and that it is one that is designed as part of a worldwide effort to challenge the verdict of imperialism and neocolonialism. That for the very first time, we are now witnessing a process that is effectively designed by and led by African workers and poor peasants to challenge, like I said, a dishonest and fraudulent middle class elite who are working in league with imperialist nations, with the British, the United States government, and their various European allies and corporations who are looting the vast resources of African people, not only in Sierra but throughout Africa, to change this situation. So they feel that this is a threat, that the emergence of a genuine struggle in Sierra Leone will equally inspire other areas within this region and in other parts of Africa to do likewise. So they think that they have to do something to challenge this effort of African workers and poor peasants, and which is why we think it's the responsibility of African workers and poor peasants from around the world to stand in deep unity with this struggle, to defend the African People's Socialist Party of Sierra Leone, to defend our own struggle, and to also make it impossible for them present the genuine desire and aspiration of our people, not only in this country, but throughout Africa, to free ourselves from these many, many years of colonial exploitation, enslavement, neo-colonial rule that has denied us our right to self-determination, denied us the opportunity to realize the benefit of our own resources, and also the opportunity to create a desirable life that will ensure that we ourselves and our children will be able to realize the purpose of our own existence, our own human dignity. So we think that every African, every individual who is sincerely committed to a genuine struggle for the emancipation of our people, for the liberation of our continent, and for the unification of our people, and for the defeat of imperialism and the eradication of these neo-colonial puppets within our communities, should be prepared and willing to stand in unity with the struggle of African people in Sierra Leone and in West Africa to challenge the situation, to make it impossible for these imperialists and their neo-colonial minions to foster the progress that is being made by African workers and poor peasants in this part of the African world.
Yes, right on. I unite with that. I think every African, you know, who is listening to this broadcast should be gearing up to respond to this situation there. And we're going to talk more about how you can do that. And I want to call on those of you who are listening to participate in this discussion. You can do so by emailing or calling in. You can call the U.S. number, which is 727-565-1599. Or you can call the U.K. number, which is 020-8133-6629, or you can call us through Skype for free anywhere in the African world. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and it's all one word, all lowercase. Or you can email us at dj@uhururadio.com. I do want to ask also, like, is there a precedence for this type of banning that's occurred there?
Well, this is just a fraudulent decision on the part of the new colonial government to suppress the genuine desire and aspiration of the workers and peasants in this country. There is no precedent. The African People's Socialist Party, APSP, has been the first political group movement that has been suspended, banned in the history of politics in Sierra Leone. We have made it clear that the PPRC became only concerned with our own existence because way back in November, even before then, we have been holding press conferences. We have been informing. They are aware that the workers and the peasants in this country are no longer willing to settle with the kind of life that they have made us, that we have placed us in. So we have pointed that in 2005, there is even a case that the People's Movement for Democratic Change, the PMDC, which is a breakaway faction of the Sierra Leone People's Party that was in power at the time, emerged under the leadership of Charles Francis Magai. And even before the formation of the PNDC, people knew that Magai and the certain dissidents within the Sweden People's Party, SLPP, were about to form a new party. And even when they formed that party, the PMDC, they went around the country holding press conferences, holding public meetings, holding rallies. There was even a case when they had to grant an interview with the BBC while he was in Bo. It was a large convention, a large public rally. Nobody said anything. The PPRC never made a statement. Nobody said anything about that. But it has become an issue because now the African Workers and Poor Peasants, whose energies, whose interests, whose resources are being stolen by these fraudulent middle class elites, have decided to organize themselves into an organization of that represents their own interests and aspirations to challenge these dishonest politicians who have been in power for the last almost 50 years now and who are responsible for all the costly conditions that we face in the country. Have decided to form a party that represents their interest to challenge these individuals. Now they are invoking fraudulent legislations and they are using institutions that they have established to muzzle the genuine aspiration of our people. So there is no precedence in this. This is an attack on national democratic rights. It's an attack on the right to association. It's an attack on the right to free speech, to free expression. It's a complete violation of the democratic principles that a decent society should experience. So we have said that the PPRC and the neo-colonial government has not followed even the constitution that they are claiming that the APSP has violated. That even the constitution that they are operating with places no condition on the right to association. It gives the people the right to freely organize. But now they have created antecedents. They have created legislation. They have created secondary legislation, the Political Party Registration Act, the Public Order Act, and several other legislations to muzzle the democratic rights of the people, to prevent the people from freeing themselves from this situation that they have created. A situation where 3 of every 5 women who give parties to the union are likely to die in labor. A situation where legislations have been created that disenfranchises the vast majority of people in this country, where life expectancy is below 40 years. Regardless of the resources that we have, a situation where we have the highest infant and maternal mortality rate, where more than 80% of the country's population do not have access to safe and pure drinking water, a situation where there is no infrastructure. So, and now they have created legislations that they are using to prevent the people from struggling to create a society that will provide for them the required services that are needed for human existence. So this is not a democracy. This is a fraudulent administration that has created legislation and institutions that prevent the vast majority of the people the opportunity to free ourselves from this situation. So, and this is what we have pointed out to the PPRC, that in as much as they are trying to say that the APSP has not followed the thing, the PPRC itself, it has violated the constitution, which is primary to the PPRC act in itself. So it shows that it's a clear and deliberate decision on the part of the neo-colonial government and its imperialist masters to invoke legislations and institutions to muzzle the free will and desire of our people to create a better life for themselves, to struggle to regain our rights to self-determination, to have access to the resources that have been looted by these imperialist organizations to transform our own condition. And which is why we are calling on Africans all over the world that this is a situation that the world needs to know about. This situation that we have to make it impossible for these neo-colonial individuals. 50 years, we are talking about 50 years of neo-colonial rule, but the exploitation of this country goes back to 500 years ago with the theft of our own resources, human resources, and also the colonization and all the other crimes that the British and their various imperial allies have committed against our people. And here they are also dictating policies and programs that are designed to further increase the suffering of the people. And the people are saying no. And now what they are invoking is laws, legislation, genuine independence, the struggle that will allow us to overturn a situation that has made us live as a subhuman beings, a situation where there is no infrastructure that is in place that is required for human existence and human dignity.
We seem to have had some kind of technical difficulty here. We're going to go to break and come back in just a moment with more discussion on the situation in Sierra Leone. Stick with us here on Africa Live in on the WhoRadio.com.
Salon tide, salon tide, like yesterday. Salon tide, Papa God, sorry for ye. Idam baku, na disto. Idam baku, any size so so kota. Say we de ask for the right leader, na disto. Papa, sorry for you, give we leader, na we learn.
About you, you go on the street and they call you see for man. Say money not a puppy, you school fee, you talk step. And they say you cook a son, say we don't know how for wrong things. I don't know how for live life. Papa God, I ain't go sorry for me. Mama, they we remember how for live life. Man, we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say we remember how for live life. Man, now we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life. Say we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live. Man, now we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life. Say we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live life. Man, now we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life.
Turn on the television, tell the better people about poor. Na bad thing, na bad disease. Where they bring this way during the racism. You find the people walk under the forget I live in. My mama don't want me to do right. And I think how for make it when I feel the hunger. Where the flow like a breeze, not enemy with mankind. What am I going to do to save my people from suffering? No education, just starvation. Not donation, not in the bring frustration. Not the sanction, the new generation. We get revolution, they fight for power. Forget the jump drum and they kill the people. The children cry, no solution for protection. Yet bad situation, man, they talk about elections. On the celebration, I make occasion for satisfy the people, not to corporation. Not corrupt, so let me ask a question. We consult, we know the cause. We drop the gun, no more fighting. Until the general not on the back, give me your face. Make you see face to face. No matter the poor, we know about justice. Try for the injustice. Because I see truth now, you live on a party heart. Simply the high dam. He left you and God, we God, we call, we all. For the account, for what you will do on earth. If you remember this, brand envelope the past. Not cause, not to later. My magistrate for the better people, not for the poor.
Man, now we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say we remember how for live life. Man, now we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life. Say we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live life. Man, now we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life. Say we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live life. Man, now we remember
how for wrong things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life. Mama Salo. God bless Mama Salo, yeah. Mama Salo, young God bless Mama Salo, yeah. I want to school, man, I remember forget me fee, yeah. I want for eat, man, I remember forget me food, yeah. Say every day, I remember for lay my head. Say let we pray, man, for Buddha go make Salo. Then don't come back again, for life how we end go.
And welcome back to Africa Live here on the WhoRadio.com. You were just listening to Salon Tide by Diadondon. We've been talking about in the second half of the program, we've been talking about the situation in Sierra Leone, where the African People's Socialist Party has been effectively banned from any political activity. And we have on the line with us Cherno Alpha Mba, the director of organization of the African Socialist International, and who has been leading up the work to build the African People's Socialist Party there. Uhuru, comrade.
Yes, Uhuru.
Good to have you back. We were talking just a moment ago just about the banning and you know how this is, you know, been an unprecedented move, you know, in terms of how they've moved against the party, the African People's Socialist Party, versus how they've moved against other organizations who have organized to create their own parties and register. Can you say how the African People's Socialist Party, actually, before we go into that, how have the people out there, I know that these notices have been sent, these statements have been sent out widely. Can you say how the people have responded to the statements?
Well, so far, the PPRC statement, the song that is happening, has further publicized the African People's Socialist Party. It has advertised the party of the workers, and people have clearly seen that the PPRC has to come up with such a statement because we made, we opposed the government's tax policy that the people themselves appreciated our position, so it has increased our curiosity on the part of the people regarding that constitution party. We have been receiving calls from people from all over the country commending us and also asking us not to give in, not to allow the PPRC to be mentored and do what they are doing, but they also remind us that they have been following the discussion, and that they are also with us. We have also received requests for membership. So it's like the PPRC has actually launched the African People's Socialist Party more than the way we had anticipated that it is happening, because it has also resulted into a series of discussions, community discussions, and also debates on the media, the radio stations, and even national TV and things like that. So, in as much as we were trying to silence the African People's Socialist Party, their move has also resulted in an advertisement for the party. It has a sharp in the public relations strategy for the party. And some people, it has even led certain people accusing the PPRC of trying to aid the propaganda work of the party. So on a whole, it has increased our reputation. It has popularized the existence of the party, and made some people who were either unaware of our existence, now they know about our existence, and they are curious to find out about who we are and how they can get themselves involved in the work to build the party, because they clearly see that this party is completely different with other parties, which is why the neo-colonial institutions, the government, are invoking legislations to try to prevent the development of such a party in the first place. So, in as much as they are struggling to defend us, to prevent us from moving forward, they have equally helped in propagandizing the work of the party and also further increase our influence and our popularity in the country as well.
Now, again, want to call on those of you who are out there listening to participate in the discussion. You can call in or email in. You can call U.S. number 727-565-1599, the U.K. number 020-8133-6629. You can call us through Skype for free anywhere in the African world. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and it's all one word, all lowercase. So email us at dj@uhururadio.com. We have a couple of emails in. I want to ask one question before we go to those emails. And that is, how has the African People's Socialist Party of Sierra Leone responded to the banning?
Well, we have held several discussions on the radio and lender conferences explaining that we haven't violated any process, that the PPRC that is trying to force us to put the party for the house, because in order for you to register a political party, the requirements set by the new colonial government itself requires for certain consultations to be held across the country, so that the leadership of the party, according to them, should be comprised, should be reflective of the what is the population bracket, or if you might want to use a more loose term, the ethnic composition of the country. So, and also to have a constitution and the establishment of offices in the city and in each of the provincial headquarters towns. So there is no way you are going to register a party without going through this stage. So the PPRC does not expect us to just go to them and apply for registration of the APSP without us having widely consulted with the vast majority of the population in this country and also establishing certain of the requirements. So the PPRC stage under the so-called legislation that they are using in itself is the last stage. But they have become alarmed now that they feel that with the APSP, they could smell the coffin, they could realize that they are being challenged, they are being exposed, and that you know, their days are numbered and things like that. So we have pointed out to them that we are willing to register, we have no intention not to register the APSP, and that we haven't violated anything, that we are also following the processes as stipulated by the political party registration after 2002. So that is what we told them. And but still they are saying that we have been banned until we issue the certificate of registration, then we have held a meeting with them, and that they have also submitted a letter of intent on expressing our desire to establish a workers' party in this country, the African People's Socialist Party, to be registered by the PPRC. So the PPRC officials also told us that they have no intention not to register the party. So they have also committed, or they are supposed to respond to us in a week's time. And until then will be the end of the period that we expect to hear from them. So we have submitted a letter of intent according to the procedures, and now we are waiting to respond from the Political Party Solicitation Commission on the following day, because according to the act, we are supposed to provide them now with a temporary certificate of registration that will last for 60 days, during which time we will have established the office and the other requirements, and then following that, we are supposed to be assessed or put on a government notice, and subsequently that, then without any objection, they are supposed to issue us with a certificate of registration after the payment of a registration fee. This in itself, this provision itself runs contrary to certain provisions of the national constitution, because the national constitution calls for the right to free association. And now here they are saying for you to have right associated with the party, you have to pay a registration fee, and they have placed all these other requirements with the establishment of offices and all of these, which makes it much more complex for workers who live on less than $1 a day, and we are calling for these workers, in order for them to have the obligation registered and recognized, they have to establish these, and they have to satisfy these stringent measures. So it means that they have created secondary legislation that run contrary to the primary law that the country has, the national constitution, which calls for free association. So all of these are part of the government legislation, part of the anti-democratic legislation, just like the age requirement, which says that in order for you to run for president, you have to be 40 years. And the vast majority of the population, almost 90% or more, below the ages of 37, because the last ages are 37. So what we have is the 2% of the population that are greater system inflation, that includes the vast majority of the hostage to these systems that are responsible for their own living conditions. And what we have is an oligarchy, an aristocracy that is telling themselves, you know, rather than maybe choose the politics and have created solutions to hold people hostage and keep them poor and then develop. So we still wait to hear from the PPRC, and we expect to hear from them early next week. Later by Tuesday, if we do not hear from them, then we might we will get them that now to conclude finally that they have no intention to register us. And then we will be party, just to complete the party with them, because any other, you know, actual activities that we'll be undertaking to challenge such a situation.
We're going to go to the questions that have been sent in. The first one is from James Karoma, who asks, can you explain the implication of the banning of the APSP in Sierra Leone, and what should the international African community, in the event that the Sierra Leone government decides not to definitely allow the APSP forces to operate in the political life of Sierra Leone? What is the capacity of your organization to defend the comrades in Sierra Leone? I think part of that is something that you might be able to answer, and the other part, you might be able to answer as the director of organization of the African Socialist International. So,
in the event that it becomes clear that the PPRC, or whosoever, is trying to prevent the registration of the party, we have to find out what legal things are in place to do that. But in the event that they decide to do that, then what they have done is, they have disenfranchised, just like they have done with these government legislations, that is openly the vast majority of the people. And we have seen in other African countries the results of such a situation. We have seen Ivory Coast and all of other areas. So we think that it's the right of the workers and the peasants to have our own party, to have our own organization, to advance our own programs, to struggle for our own government, to struggle for the control of state power. The constitution that they have enacted in this country calls for a multi-party situation. As we speak right now, there are 29 political parties that exist in this country. Although all of them are factions of the same class of individuals who have held on to power for the last 50 years. So if they can allow these factions to masquerade as political parties, some of them are not even active, they are just registered. We see no legal justification why they should not register the African Socialist Party. But like we said, until they provide us with a clear statement by Tuesday to indicate to us that clearly justifies to us that they have no intention to register, because what they are saying is that they will register the party, that we just have to send in our application, and which is what they are doing now. So if they decide otherwise, then that will be the situation when the workers and the peasants will equally challenge them that they have no right to do this, that we have the right, democratic right to belong to our own organization, to build our own party, to develop our own program, to advance that program, and also struggle for the control of state power and establish our own government. So we don't think that under the current circumstances there is no justification. Even what we took with the banner right now, there is no justification for that. But since they are just saying that, in fact, what calling for is registration of the party, we are absolutely not too serious. And by Tuesday, we are supposed to hear to get a response to the letter that we have sent to them. And if we do not get that, then we will begin to conclude that the PCRC has deliberately disenfranchised the workers and the peasants in this country, the vast majority of the population of this country, from participating in the political life of the country. And on the other question of capacity, the African People's Socialist Party represents the majority of the population in this country, the workers and the peasants, the people who have been voting over the years, and whose votes, whose energy, whose interest for change And the dire change, the feeling that from this poverty and development have been exploited by these fraudulent politicians, this is what the party represents. These are the people that we represent. So in the event that we decide to disenfranchise the population, it's the majority of the population. So in a democratic situation, it's the majority that counts. So the will of the people cannot be defeated. That is what we are saying. So that is the strategy of the party. But like I said, we still have to wait until Tuesday, and then we will begin to conclude. If BPS has not responded to our request to register the party, and then we will start to conclude that it's a deliberate plan on their part to prevent us from participating in the political life of the country. And when that happens, we think that they have no legal justification to take such a decision. And that, again, will give the people the right to assert their own democratic rights under the current situation.
Uhuru. And, you know, the question of capacity, I think they were also talking about the question of the ability of the ASI to respond, not just in Sierra Leone, but outside of Sierra Leone. And I think one thing is, you know, your participation in this question is one of the things that helps to define what capacity we have, because we'll make the call to move, you know, however is needed to resolve the situation there, whether it be, you know, demonstrations in different parts of the world. And but what will be needed is the participation of Africans who recognize the situation in Sierra Leone as a situation that's impacting on them. You know, on us everywhere around the world where we are, just like we see the situation in Haiti as our own problem as African people everywhere around the world. We have to do the same with the question of the move on the African People's Socialist Party in Sierra Leone. And the part of the question of capacity is answered by you and who are out there listening. There's another question that has come in, and that is, it says, I have a question. What is the United States involvement in this plan to keep out the Uhuru movement from uniting in Sierra Leone and other African organizations trying to help in the liberation of our people? And that is from Minkura in Delaware. He's asking if the United States has involvement in this banning of the party, basically.
Of course, whatever that happens, what we have is a consortium of imperialist forces who have been looting the resources for many years now. So. Like we said, even when you oppose the new government tax policy, or the joint statement that was issued by the World Bank, the Department of International Development, the IMF, and all the other imperialist agencies calling, supporting the government's plan to impose new tax policy that increases by 15% the prices of all essential goods and services in the country. So, this situation is not independent. The economy is run by multinational agencies, by international financial institutions. The mineral wealth of the country is looted by corporations owned by the United States government, by the British. As we speak right now, there's an FBI station here. There is a British military deployment in this country. So that is who we are struggling with. When the African People's Socialist Party opposed the government's new tax policy and called for its immediate withdrawal, the international financial institutions following the day issued a statement calling on the government not to withdraw the tax. And then subsequent to that, they issued another statement rebuking the international financial institutions and telling them that they have no right to tell the masses of our people in this country to accept the tax policy that they have overwhelmingly rejected. That the decision went to decide whether The issue of whether a tax policy is acceptable or not is not the responsibility of these representatives of these interest organizations, but it is the responsibility of the market, that the IMF, the World Bank, and these many, many agencies in this country do not represent any sector of the population. So they have no right to determine what should be done and what should not be done. That is, they should hands off our economy. They should stop the process of pushing and forcing for the implementation of programs that result in the poverty and underdevelopment of African communities. It's only when we said this, then a few hours after that statement came out, and then was reported by the media, then a statement came immediately from the PPRC effectively banning the APSP, banning us from participating in any political activity in the country, and even granting interviews and holding political meetings. So it is the IMF that influenced such a decision. It is the World Bank that influenced such a decision. It is the U.S. Imperial state and its agencies that are operating this country that has influenced such a decision. It's not an independent decision. It is a decision that has come as a consequence of a collective consultation between the imperialist representatives on the ground and the neo-colonial allies who are responsible for the poverty that we experience. So it's the U.S. that's responsible, it's the British that's responsible, and all the European allies and their various corporations who are looking for resources. They are the ones that are responsible for the situation.
Uhura, we've got just a few minutes left in the program, so I wanted to see if you have anything that you would like to say in closing, Comrade Cherno.
Well, we just want to say that the situation in Sierra Leone is evolving very dramatically, and even now as we speak, it's been rumored that there might be some plans initiated by certain operatives of the neo-colonial government to have us arrested. That some members of the ruling party in the U.S. and in other places have been writing on various internet discussion forums that we are not going to be registered, and that there are even plans to have us arrested on the basis that we are trying to foment some kind of civil unrest in the country and things like that. So what we are saying, there is an attempt to criminalize the organization of the workers, to defame us simply because we are struggling for our right to self-determination. So we want the world to know. We want individuals outside of the borders of Sierra Leone to help our brothers and sisters all over the world and freedom-loving people across the world to know that this is the situation, that there is an attempt, a deliberate attempt to criminalize us, to deny us our rights to determination, our democratic rights, and also to exclude us from the political affairs of our own country, our own continent, and things like that, our own community, to prevent us from seeking an alternative that is designed to create a better life for our people and ourselves. So this is, and one way that we want to do that is to develop information, to fabricate information that, among other things, will isolate us from the market and also provide the basis for any form of attack against us. And part of what they are trying to say is that we are trying to foment a civil unrest in the country. So we have to let the world know about this. Let Africans, wherever they are in the world, to know this. And also other freedom-loving people to know that this is the situation. So that when it happens, people will know that it has happened because we are struggling to take back our rights to determination. We are struggling for our democratic rights. We are struggling to develop an alternative that is designed to ensure that we live a better life as human beings, to live in dignity, to live in peace, and also realize the purpose of our own existence, to create the social services that we need for our own existence, to overcome the life expectancy that is below 40 years, a situation where we live in a prison. So, These are the conditions that we are struggling to overcome. I mean, there are individuals who are determined to criminalize us because we are up against a system that has reduced us to human beings. So we want the world to know about this and to also equally help us to prevent and also make it impossible for such individuals to exclude us from a process that is designed to free ourselves from these cosmic conditions. That is all I would like to say.
Uhuru, I want to let you know that I appreciate you coming on to the radio show today, Comrade Colonel Alpha Mba, and to discuss the situation with the banning of the African People's Socialist Party there in Sierra Leone. And I want to, again, call on those of you who are out there listening to be up on the Uhuru News and so you can stay updated on what's happening there and how you need to be responding to the situation on the ground there. So that's it for Africa Live for today. But stay tuned because next up we have Solidarity, Not Charity here on UhuruRadio.com.
Yesterday, saloon today, Papa God, sorry for ye. Idambaku, na disto. Idambaku, any size, so kota. Say we de ask for the right leader, na disto. Papa, sorry for you, give we leader, na we land.